Hey, you know how to do that up in New England, you get away with it. Look at the accent they have up there, they get away with that Boston accent too. We had about 20, maybe more churches here yesterday. We hosted a district workshops for lay people, and it was really well attended, I felt, for so early in the morning for being in downtown King City. The bigger churches came here. We had people come all the way from Chillicothe, the large churches, and Kearney. And so it's nice that us smaller churches get to host important events for the district, and that's sort of neat that they did it here in King City. Isn't that cool? So we're on the map now. Wow, that's awesome, man. Okay, well, let's stand for the reading of the scriptures today. We're in Genesis chapter 2, and then we're in the verse of chapter 3. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." And then in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband." Surprise, honey, this is what we're having for supper tonight. "Who was with her, and he ate it." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. Let's start a series on why bad things happen to good people. You know, a lot of atheists, that's the reason they use for not believing in God, because they said, how could there be a God that would cause suffering or allow suffering to take place? And why do so many bad things happen to people? So over the next several Sundays, we're going to be talking about that. And today, I have maybe two answers, and I think one of them you're probably not going to like. How's that? I'm just going to give you that disclaimer right up front. My immediate response when someone was saying, why do bad things happen to good people, would be this, that we no longer live in a good world. The world is no longer good, and people are no longer perfectly good, because Adam and Eve were not only in a perfect world that was good, they were perfect. And so when they sinned and they chose to sin, then that perfectness and that goodness went away. And if you don't believe that, just have some kids. Okay, get pregnant, have some children, and you'll find out that they sin naturally. It comes very easy to them. You don't have to teach them how to be bad. There's a pastor by the name of Dave Early, and he had three little boys. I guess they're 5, 4, and 2. Now, that's a handful, all right? I've got 3 grandsons about that age. And when they come over, I'm sorry, probably have to repair the parsonage. You have to come over and inspect it after they come. I might as well bring a horse in and let a horse live in our houses to bring my 3 grandsons over. And then when all 7 of them come, watch out, you know, it was football in the living room. But he had a family night, which is always a good thing to have, family movie night, and they watched an oldie but a goldie, a good one. They watched Adventures of Huck Finn, and then afterwards threw them all into the bathtub to take a bath, which is easy to do with 3 boys. Put them in there and lock the door and get your diamond. No, you didn't say it, right? Put them in the bathtub. But they're in the bathtub and they're just causing a ruckus. You can't picture that, can you? I mean, water is flying everywhere. You know, water's coming down from the ceiling. They're just screaming and yelling. And so Dave goes in there, Pastor Dave, and he says, "What in the world's going on in here?" And the 4-year-old goes, "We're drunk." And the 2-year-old goes, "We're drunker than skunks." And Dave goes, "You guys don't even know what drunk is. I mean, they're in a pastor's family, they grew up in church, they never even heard of alcohol or drinking." See how naturally they picked up on the bad and they were acting that out instead of acting on the good. Maybe you've experienced this too. We had a grandson that lived with us for a little while, and he could barely talk, and it was my turn to watch him. I don't know where my wife went. Every time my wife would leave, and they'd leave me with the grandchildren, I'm like, "Help. Where's the phone? I may have to dial 911. I don't know about your other grandfathers, but let me home with this one and we can barely talk. I never even told Bonnie about this, but the only thing I know how to make is pizza. You just throw it in the oven, man, and turn it on to 350, you're pretty safe, or 450, somewhere around in there. And bring it out, and when it, you know, when it looks okay. And so I slice it all up, and I give him this piece of pizza, and he can't talk, and he's going, no, no. And he points at another piece of pizza. So I'll be a good grandfather. I take that piece of pizza away off his plate, and I put the one that he points to on his plate. No. He starts throwing a fit. He starts pointing at my piece of pizza. Now, to keep peace, what did Grandpa do? Grandpa gave him my piece of pizza. Did he eat it? No. You see, we don't have to teach people how to act bad. We come by it naturally. We have an inborn sin nature. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then to top it off with, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God even warned Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree because you will surely die. And they didn't believe it. They listened to the enemy anyways. The enemy says, oh, God's just pulling your leg. He's a killjoy. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He knows if you eat of that fruit that you'll be as smart as me. You'll be as smart as God. And therefore, ever since then, the world's been a mess. I had a beautiful 1957 Chevy 2 model. And I brought my grandson. My grandson was in my room one day, and he's looking at it. I says, you can't play with that. That was your great-grandfather. And it was one of those cast iron ones. And I said, so don't touch it. Don't play with it. It's just to look at it. I turned around just a minute, picked something off the bed, and he picked it up, and he goes like this on the dresser. Smash! 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 I'm like, now you're all saying, I've got this. Grandchildren are sinners, huh? No, kids just do that. They do it, and naturally comes bad. So my number one reason, and we're going to look at that today in your notes, the reason no one wants to hear about why bad things happen to good people is that God created people with the ability to choose. Adam and Eve chose evil, and they disobeyed, and we disobeyed. And people don't like to hear that answer of why bad things happen to good people. When we humans basically told God to shove off, that's what Adam and Eve did. He honored our request partially. And that's when nature began to revolt. The earth was cursed. We live in an earth that is cursed. Genetic breakdown and disease began that very moment that they ate of that fruit. Pain and death became a part of the human experience. The good creation that God had made was now marred, and still marred to this day, and we live in an unjust world. We are born into a world made chaotic and unfair by a humanity that's in revolt against its creator. That's why bad things happen to good people. Why are there earthquakes? And thank God we moved to King City. We lived right on one of the main faults, the New Madrid Fault. We lived right on it. I think the parsonage was built right in the middle of it. And I was just waiting for that earthquake to happen. We moved to King City. We're not living on an earthquake fault here, are we? Don't tell me we are. Oh. But why are there earthquakes? The answer is that we live in a cursed world that has subterranean faults now that weren't there before. The world was cursed. The whole earth, all nature has been cursed. Why did you get sick? And there's many people that are not here today that are sick. It's because we live in a world with germs now. There were no germs before. We no longer live in paradise like Adam and Eve did. We live in a world that's abnormal. Something happened right before Christmas. It was a tragedy. Some friends that we have that we know we're really close to. It was during one of the ice storms. I think it was 4 days before Christmas. The mother and father were out, and they have four children. I'll tell you about the four children. They're all Christians. They're all very active in the church. Matter of fact, these kids, the four kids, the oldest one is a senior. She's in high school. She helps lead worship, has for 3 years in their church, plays the drums and sings. The sophomore is a boy. He plays lead guitar, and leads worship, has for 3 years in the church. The eighth grader girl, she helps lead worship. She's a singer on the praise band, has been for a couple years. And then they have one that's in elementary school. Well, during this ice storm in St. Louis that hit all of Missouri, they got in a car accident, mom and dad. The kids were at home. Dad got ejected from the car and killed instantaneously. Mom was in the hospital in critical condition. Here the kids are home in this ice storm and people can't even get to them. Talk about bad things happening to good people. Well, eventually mom does get home. She's still in pretty bad shape. Christmas Eve service comes. They're the ones who lead worship. No one expected them to be there 3 or 4 days after their father was killed. So tragically. Those kids were there and they led the Christmas Eve worship service. Well, certainly they wouldn't come Christmas morning, which was the following day, Sunday morning for worship. They were there and led worship again. And they sang a special, and maybe you've heard it before, Thy Will Be Done. And they sang it as a tribute to their father. Are they hurting? Yes, they're hurting. What answer do we give to that family that had that tragedy happen to them? The only answer we can give them is the world is deeply flawed. And it's only because man is trying to go on their own without God that the world's in the mess that it is. There were no ice storms. Matter of fact, there wasn't even rain before Noah's Ark. If you talk to creation scientists, before the world was in perfect condition, and there would be a mist that would sit there. So when Noah talked about there being a flood, that's why they thought he was so crazy, because he'd never seen rain before. Now we have to cancel church because of ice storms, right? We live in a flawed world. Adam and Eve's choices had lasting consequences, and so does my choices and your choices. How can you blame God for starving babies in Ethiopia when the best-selling books in the United States are on dieting and how to take off the extra fat? Think about it. Here's another interesting fact that maybe you didn't know. It's not God's fault that people are starving today. The earth produces enough right now to give every person 3,000 calories a day. The problem is that some of us hoard it so others go to bed hungry. And you can go to almost any city in America and the dumpsters are full of food that we didn't eat. Well, there are people starving in other parts of the world. Is that God's fault? No. That's humanity's fault. It's a cop-out to blame God for human irresponsibility. If a person gets drunk and he drives across the median and he sends your friend to an early grave, will you blame God? Some people do. It wasn't God's fault. It was the drunk's fault. Do you blame God for Hitler's 7 million murders? That would be escapism. The vast majority of human evil and suffering is a direct result of human irresponsibility. We don't like to hear that one. That's why I started off with that one and got it out of the way. But in all the bad that happens, we still forget the goodness of God. That the millions of times He's intervened on our behalf and He's answered prayer. I remember one time, and maybe Bonnie told the story, I don't know, when she preached here one time. We had to go away to a pastor's conference, and my daughters had to stay with one of the staff in the church. And the staff member had just gotten a new car, and she was driving our daughter back to her apartment, our youngest daughter, and she was sitting in the back. And she didn't know how to shift the car or whatever, and she backed up, and my daughter thought she was done, and my daughter opened the door to get out of the car, and she fell out of the car, and the woman backed over her. I mean, she even felt the boom as she ran over my daughter. And then she, not knowing what to do, she ran over her again, put the car in forward. And Our daughter afterwards, who was probably about, I can't remember, 8 years old, five, told us, there was a man that told me to move my head because the car door was going to open. There was no man there. Because, see, the driver and the woman opened their car door and it would have knocked our child out. And our daughter said, it was almost like someone lifted the car. She felt it go over her arm. We didn't have to take her to the doctor or anything. This car ran over her arm. There was just a little mark there. And it hurt just a little bit. It was an angel of the Lord. Was over watching her. And how many times those things have happened to us and we just disregard them. We don't even think about them. God has intervened hundreds of times in our lives and will continue until we die. And that's the goodness of God in a fallen, broken world that we live in. He's still with us and he's still doing awesome things. Number two, if you're taking notes. Bad things happen to good people in order to win an unseen victory. Let's talk about Job for a little while. I had a sadistic pastor growing up. His favorite book in the Bible was the book of Job. It's one of the oldest books of the Bible. And the Bible says that he was the most righteous man alive during that time. But this is what the scripture also says about him. And most of the scripture I'm going to be reading from the Message. Job was honest inside and out, a man of his word who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. One day a messenger came to him, and the messenger says, someone has stole all your farm animals, all your cattle, and they've taken your oxen who were plowing in the field, and they killed all your hired hands. Okay, have you had a bad day before? Anybody ever had a bad day? Well, Job was having a bad day, and it's about to get worse. Because no one's had a bad day as bad as Job. Because as that messenger was speaking, another messenger came, well, the other guy's still talking, and says this to Job, bolts of lightning, plural, struck all your sheep and your shepherds and fried them and burnt them to a crisp. Now he's having a bad day. Well, that guy's still talking. Another messenger comes up to Job. I think I would have had a heart attack by that point. And this guy has more bad news. He says, the Chaldeans just raided your camels, took all your camels, and massacred your camel drivers. As that man was still talking, another messenger came up to Job. And he said, your children were having a party at your oldest son's house, and a tornado came, and the roof collapsed, and all your children are dead. Job was having a bad day. What did Job do? Job ripped his robe. It says he shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped God. And he said, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall depart from this world. And then he says, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of my God. In all that he never once did sin. Can you imagine that? Because he understood that we have a good God even though we live in a fallen, broken, terrible world. Now, to add insult to injury, to make the matter even worse, Satan struck Job with terrible sores. He asked permission, went up to God. Satan has access to God in heaven, and wanted permission to strike Job with sickness. So here's Job with terrible sores all over his body. He has ulcers and scabs from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And they itched and they oozed so bad that he broke a piece of pottery and he's sitting there scraping himself with these oozing sores and everything, and he just lost everything. Family, everything. Now if that wasn't bad enough, you think his wife would be there at least to hold his hand and say, Job, we're having it rough. Hang in there. Oh, no. No, she doesn't do that. Do you remember what Job's wife does? She says to him, Job, just give up. Just curse God and die. Wow. No encouragement from anyone. And then his friends stop by. Now, at first, they do the right thing. They don't say anything. That's probably the best thing to do when someone's just gone through such tragedy. Just sit there and be with them. And at first, they were wise. They did that. But that sinful nature part of them rose up, and they said, Job, what did you do to deserve all this? You must have sinned somehow. You have hidden sin in your life. You need to confess it. You need to own up to it. You've got issues, man. Straighten up and come clean. Job goes, I didn't do anything. Haven't you read the Bible? It says I'm the most righteous man there is. Well, the Bible hasn't been written yet, but... See, Satan asked permission to do all this to Job. Why? Because Satan said this to God. He said, a human will do anything to save his life. He will curse you to his face. And God said, not my servant Job. You see, Job took a look at him, but he kept on kicking. Yeah. And can we say the same for ourselves? A reason bad things happen to good people may have nothing to do with us at all. It had nothing to do with Job at all. It has everything to do with God's plan to silence Satan's pride and shut Satan's mouth. Yes. Satan wants to be worshipped just like God, but he knows he's not worthy. And if his followers had that done to them, they would have cursed Satan, and they would have betrayed Satan, and they would have run away from him and turned on him quickly. But Job, a servant of God, didn't. Because he realized that there's still a good God in the midst of a bad and broken world. One little human named Job suffered so triumphantly, he shut the mouth of the Prince of Darkness. And he didn't call down fire from heaven, and he didn't pray any fancy prayers. All he did was remain loyal to God, his Creator. Job didn't realize it at the time, but he was winning an unseen victory. He shut the enemy's mouth. I read a story, and first I didn't even believe it was true. But it really happened. There was a mother during the Civil War that lost not only one son to death in the Civil War, not just two, not just three. Let's go for a whole handful. Five. Five sons were killed in the Civil War. She was a believer and a follower of Christ. And the only thing that helped her through that tragedy was leaning upon a good God in the midst of a broken, fallen world. The Civil War was not God's fault. Slavery was not God's fault. It was human choice. And that is what brought suffering into the world. Atheists don't like to hear that, though. What good can come from bad? Maybe we don't realize it now, but maybe we're just players in an unseen battle, winning a victory for God. Our response to suffering may give God greater glory and get Satan to shut up. And wow, wouldn't that be enough? That would be worth it all. But there's one part of the story, it doesn't end there. Job got back double everything that he had before. I like that part of the story. Maybe that's why my pastor liked that story so much. I don't know. The goodness of God is here in the midst of all the bad that's happening. And though there's bad happening in your family, you can't understand why this is happening to me. It happened to the most righteous man there ever was. And God got glory out of it. God's going to get glory out of your trial. God's going to get glory out of your tribulation if you allow Him to. And don't succumb to the enemy. And allow Satan to lie to you and say, God is not a good God. God is a good God. He's an awesome God. Amen. Let's pray and prepare our hearts for communion today. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you that we have a righteous Savior Jesus Christ, who overcame all evil, all darkness, overcame the enemy, overcame death, overcame the grave. And now we have that same hope, we have that same promise. Today we rejoice that we have victory over the grave and over the sting of death and over all power that is evil. Lord, we give you praise today. Help us to remember that. And I pray for those that are here today that have been struggling with sickness and all kinds of things going on in their family. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill their hearts again with hope, that you'll fill their hearts again with victory, and remind them that they are more than conquerors through Christ who gave his life for them. And I ask it in the holy and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.